Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am glad you're back with me on a great day. I tell you what, we have some interesting events going on around the world. How many of you are looking with bated breath, maybe great excitement, great anticipation, just a wait and see attitude with regards to what will be happening in the Korean Peninsula, on the Korean Peninsula? Of course, we have been hearing and or reading about the demilitarized zone. And I tell you what, think sort of like the way things are going when the Iron Curtain came down, the wall came down, the different things that have happened around the world that brought change. I won't say necessarily peace, but certainly change. Well, we have that demilitarized zone between the two Koreas, South and North. And I want to share with you a little bit of what kinds of activities that has drawn out, courtesy of BBC, as we take a listen to some comments being made and actually get a chance to listen in a bit on a concert that was held as well. Again, this is a program where we do also take a look at life events on an international level, not just local, not just national, but also not just state, but also international. You can best believe we will be impacted. Let's take a listen. Newton Faulkner, the Sex Pistols bassist Glenn Matlock, and others took part in this festival.
I am Newton Faulkner, and I'm here at the DMZ Peace Train Music Festival, traveling across South Korea, towards North Korea at the moment, to play where kind of very few people have been allowed to play. It's an amazing feeling.
A place, again, where, as he said, very few people have been allowed to play. But now, as a very interesting gesture, a festival is being held. The week rises above this lady said she was lucky to come there after being one of only 70 to get a lottery ticket. When the ticketing sales opened up, they went quickly.
Music is the universal language that breaks down barriers, the transposes.
This is Glenn Matlock, bassist with the Sex Pistols. 34 different artists from 7 different countries performed across 3 different venues over the weekend.
It was mainly Korean acts that were doing it. I think I can lend a little bit of sort of kind of British punk rock je ne sais quoi to the mix somehow.
First festival of its kind.
It's actually an amazing festival site, and I think they have the right intentions, so I think absolutely they could build it something similar to Glastonbury.
Outside the military-controlled area were the main free festival stages. Organizers hope that next year, performers from North Korea will play the festival. This one featured primarily South Koreans, but they're hoping, and of course some people from the UK, and they're hoping that next year, North Koreans will be a part of the mix. I love that.
This is a peace concert being held in South Korea, barely 5 kilometers from the border with North Korea, which is perhaps one of the most militarized borders in the world. It's being organized every year since 2011 by local authorities, but in light of recent tensions and heightened hostilities, it would seem almost absurd that a government would allow such an event to happen and that tens of thousands of people would actually come out to attend it and bring their
tens of thousands along.
That's the thing about South Korea, that's the thing about this country, that people here have gotten so used to hearing these harsh words from their northern neighbor that it's almost become a part of normal life.
Running.
한국국의 다른 나라 사람들이 걱정하는
It's not what the outside world would think it is like.
우리 한국 사람들이 느끼기에는 전쟁이 안 날 거다 혹은 나지 않
Koreans believe that it's very unlikely that a war will break out, he says. Watching the war of words only makes her laugh, this lady says. She thinks it's nonsense.
통일을 전부 다 원하기 때문에
They all want unification of Korea and they don't worry too much about war breaking out. What do you think? Nothing to think about, nothing to worry about, nothing to be concerned about? Do you think that is something that could really happen under the right circumstances, you might say?
The propaganda tool by South Korea with speakers on the border blaring it into North Korea. This country has said that it remains open to dialogue with its northern neighbor. But this music is not going to be heard there. It's unlikely to be broadcast there. And South Korea's message at the moment seems to be falling on deaf ears.
What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? What are your thoughts? Are we moving forward with regards to the talks that are taking place between the leaders of America and North Korea? And remember, we do still have leaders from other nations involved in the discussions as well, including South Korea. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Where are we headed? All right. Sometimes people say, hey, it's best to, safest to, how's it go? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. All right. Well, that said, let's take a look at something else that's happening in America in particular. Not only in America, but we're going to focus on America for now. As we may want to be putting into play that adage again, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst, when it comes to what's happening with our environment, which seems to really be under siege. The Natural Resource Defense Council is helping us be up to speed as to what's happening. In 2014, there was a major outpouring of coal cleaning chemicals in Charleston, West Virginia, that left more than 300,000 residents without clean tap water for a week. After being sued by the center, and by the council, and I'm calling the Natural Resource Defense Council, council for short, after being sued by the council and others for negligence, the U.S. Protection Agency agreed in a settlement to put a new standard in place to prevent hazardous spills on industrial sites and to issue a final rule in 2019. They're supposed to have been doing that this month, putting this new settlement, this new standard in place. The agency has turned up empty-handed, failing to issue the court-mandated rule. As a result, the agency's failure is putting all Americans at risk, but some communities more than others. And when it comes to this whole matter of some communities being more at risk than others, which specific types of communities would you conclude are more at risk? Well, some of you have heard my discussions on this before. There's a report that shows that facilities that manufacture, store, and use toxic chemicals tend to cluster in low-income neighborhoods of color. Low-income neighborhoods of color. Now, I hope we don't think that that is just a coincidence. I hope we understand that the leaders of these companies and the politicians who okay their decisions know that there is something problematic about these chemicals, these toxic chemicals, that they choose over and over again to cluster in low-income neighborhoods of color. Last August, the U.S. Department of Interior suddenly called off a study on the health effects of mountaintop removal coal mining, with little explanation as to why. Have any of you seen any of the newscasts or documentaries that show, that demonstrate, that depict, real world too, not just movies, but real world explosions of the tops of mountains? where we have human beings on those mountains working to blow off the top, literally to blow off the tops of those mountains, bit by bit by bit, blowing off, going on across, blowing off the tops of the mountains, trying to get through the cold. The Department of the Interior was performing a study where they were going to try to find out what the health effects of that activity is. They suddenly called it off. What would have prompted them to call off that study? We're talking about the health effects of U.S. citizens, fellow Americans. The health effects, knowing that many, many, many people can be affected, and that people can be affected for a lifetime, for generations. Very important study. What prompted the department to call off that study? The U.S. Department of the Interior. Well, as it turns out, in the months prior to that, a top interior official named Catherine McGregor met at least six times with representatives from the country's biggest coal mining companies. And according to recently released documents and schedules, Catherine McGregor actively pushed for the study's cancellation. Now, she is a top official with the U.S. Department of the Interior. And she actively pushed for the study's cancellation after meeting with companies like Arch Coal, which practices mountaintop removal mining in Appalachia. How many of you are thinking even about some of the benefits that we have of having plant life absorbing some of the carbon dioxide breathed out by human beings? Because the carbon dioxide, which is so harmful to us, is very helpful to plant life, to vegetation, which puts out oxygen, which is not so healthy for them, but is much needed by us. And in various parts of the country, they're blowing off the tops of the mountains. Isn't it ironic that we have human beings who would work so hard to get executives of these coal companies, coal mining companies, paid at the expense of many, many, many more people's health? Well, when it comes to this whole issue of removing mountaintops, the process uses explosives to extract coal from mountaintops and ridgelines, and this results in polluted rivers, polluted streams, and other bodies of polluted water. When asked the reason behind the cancellation, the Interior Department said the duplicative research, they called it duplicative research, was wasting money that could otherwise go to securing public lands along the U.S.-Mexico border. So the Interior Department is swapping mountains and health for a wall that will be designed to try to keep people out of the U.S. of A. Is that really a good trade-off in the long run? They're going to ensure that more and more of our waters are polluted. Now, think about this now. We already have evidence that the world, including America, has less and less drinkable water, water that can be safely consumed by humans. And so they're going to continue to pollute more and more of our water for the purpose of keeping people out of this country. What will those of us who are still in the country do when we have little to no drinking water left? In the long run, which would be better? To come up with very, very reasonable ways to produce food that can feed the people even those who come in from other countries, come up with ways to provide truly living wages for everyone who works, a living wage, a wage that keeps up with the cost of living. Because we can do all of this. I'm telling you, our political leaders are smart enough to know how to do these things. They really are. It is not a matter of whether or not they have the ability, whether or not they have the intelligence. They have that. It comes down to why don't they have the willingness to do it. Securing public lands along the U.S.-Mexico border. They just want to make sure that they keep people out rather than use that same money to keep people safe. It turns out that Trump's cabinet was ordered to praise him, and Pruitt's ethical adventures continue, now with chicken chains and used mattresses. President Trump is preparing to declare a national emergency. Not because we're under attack, because we're not. It is not a natural disaster for which he wants to call this national emergency. He wants to declare a national emergency. It's in question. This is it. It has to do with the gradual, long forecast evolution of our national electricity grid away from coal. It's not that our electrical grid is going away. It's that we've been coming up with more efficient ways to power our electricity grid. And that more efficient way, more effective way, has been taking America away from the use of coal in powering America's electricity grid. And that move away from the use of coal in powering the electric grid is the reason that he's planning to call a national emergency. Moving away from the use of coal. Not that the grids will be done away with. Not that the grids will be incapacitated. It's just that there will be less use of coal and there will be more use of other energy sources to power the grid. He considers that move away from the use of coal a national emergency. As natural gas and renewable energy output ramps up, coal and nuclear plants have lost market share in the national power portfolio. That's a problem for President Trump, who campaigned on a promise to save the coal industry, no matter what it takes. So he directed the U.S. Department of Energy to use emergency powers to stop the retirement of economically non-competitive coal-fired power plants.